Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
من سيء الأسقام آمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Peace be upon you, the mercy of Allah and His blessings. الحمد لله والشكر لله. We've been blessed with this 11th day of Sha'aban, 1441, corresponding to Sunday, the 5th of April, 2021. Starting off with the Zakat Nisab, it's 5,390 rands. The Mahar of Fatimi is 13,475 rands. The minimum Mahar is for the Hanafi is 270 rands, for the Maliki is 90, and the Shafi'is and the Hanbali, there is no minimum mahar. Joining us once again, we'd like to welcome the esteemed listeners joining us locally, nationally, as well as internationally. And we also say shukran to the directors and to the staff and the sound engineers and all those who have coordinated this afternoon's program. Indeed, we are indebted to Mufti Sahib, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Sahib, Hafizahullah, once again for joining us on the Q&A program. Mufti Sahib, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Hafiz Wadi, Jazakallahu khairan. Ameen.
President Mufti Sahib, our very first question that we go into, wanting to know, what are the benefits of using the miswak or the siwak, and what's the difference with siwak and miswak?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Miswak is a great sunnah of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many ahadith there regarding miswak mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, Nasai, Sunan Ibn Majah, Mu'tah Malik, and Mustad Ahmad. All the famous hadith kitabs have spoken about it. I'll just mention too, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْلَا نَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي, had it not been difficult upon my ummah, لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ إِنْدَ كُلِّ صَلَاتٍ, I would have commanded them to make miswak before every salat. Another hadith, إِنْدَ كُلِّ هُدُوءٍ, you will find both in Bukhari Sharif, you will find them in Musnad Ahmad and various compilations. So here we know that the Hanafi say that we should make miswak at the time of wudu. That is more emphasized. According to Shafi's, Hanbalis and majority scholars, they say that before salat. But everybody agrees it is sunnah. Miswak is what we use and siwak is the action. So miswak will be the stick that we use and siwak will be the action. And here we should remember three things, that how should we make the miswak and use the miswak. We should use it for staku arda. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, use it horizontally. Not we go up and down, but we use it horizontally. Next one, remember when making miswak, that you keep the miswak in your right hand, and inshallah, then you start the miswak process from right to left. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his fatal illness, and one of the last actions Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed was miswak. Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha states, she saw Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looking at her brother Abdul Rahman, and then she asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you want the miswak? The Master alayhi salatu salam answered in the positive and said yes, meaning that by ishara, by gestures and sign. So she went, softened the miswak and gave it to Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For us, obviously the Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, will always be the most beloved, most precious to all Almighty Allah in the entire universe. But for ordinary mortals like me and you, remember that if we are constant with the miswak, ulama like Allama Shami rahimahullah and them have written, inshallah, with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, at the time of death, that person will recite the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and that will be his entry into Jannah and paradise with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, you know, the entire country, the entire world is lots of anxious, but especially, you know, for many of the esteemed listeners that are listening to our programs and those that perhaps may not be listening, the anxiousness is, the worry is, the concern is about Taraweeh this year. Mufti Saab's comment.
Remember that Wednesday night is the big night and the auspicious night of Laylatul Nisfi min Shaban, Shab-e Bara'at. We got people already contacting us. What are we going to do? Remember that while the lockdown is in operation, then everyone has to perform their own ibadat individually in our homes. And that will be that we can continue with the ibadat, and we must fast on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Allah give us tawfiq. Regarding Ramadan, obviously we hope and pray that the lockdown is removed and lifted at that time. But if it is not lifted and we cannot go to the masajid, so as we are doing for Jumu'ah, that we have thousands of people making jama'at different places, in our houses, in our backyards, in our outbuildings and so forth. So that is what we will do. We hope it does not come to that. But yesterday and this morning we received good news in this sense, that the lawyer and attorney, our brother Zahir Umar, and Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai of the Majlis and the Jamiat Ulama of South Africa, 1971, they were established there in PE. So they are making an urgent application. And inshallah, we hope the minister will answer in the positive, so that the masajid can be opened at least for Jumu'ah and so forth and Ramadan. So let's hope and pray, Ya Fattahu, Ya Fattahu, if we the Ummah make our own du'as and cry to Almighty Allah, by Almighty Allah, everything, Inna Allah la kulli shayin qadir, everything can happen in a split second, split moment. So let us beg Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban, Allahumma barik lana fi Shaban wa balighna Ramadan, Ya Allah, grant us barakah in this month of Shaban and spare us for Ramadan, as mentioned in Mishkat Sharif. And we beg Almighty Allah that our masajid are open by that time. But if the worst case scenario, then obviously we will have to perform our Taraweeh at home, as we are doing now with the Jumu'ah and so forth.
JazakAllah khair for that. Mufti Saab, next question that has come in, to say that there is a lot of gender-based of violence currently, and we've received a few messages as well from the ladies, you know, in many of the homes where the males are abusing them and so on, and also abusing the children. Mufti Saab's comment on this?
Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, protect us, you, my brothers. What we are doing, some husbands, definitely is absolutely haram. You can't be venting your anger and frustration with your wife and children and swearing, abusing them, and sometimes physical violence, all that absolutely haram. I will mention to you one Quranic verse, one hadith, and let us look at things in a proper perspective. Quran Kareem teaches us Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 19, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and treat your wives with love, equity and justice. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, who will be the Rawi, the reporter? None other than Siddiqa bintu Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha. What does she say? She says, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Khayrukum khayrukum li ahalikum, wa ana khayrukum li ahali. The best of you are the best of you to your wife, to your children. I am wa ana khayrukum li ahli, the best to my wives and my children. You husbands, for a moment I want you to ponder, wonder and reflect. What sacrifice our wives made, that we went to propose for them. They left their parents' home, they left their siblings, they left the place of their birth, to spend the remainder of their life with us. And what do? We start abusing them, swearing them, physical violence, assaulting them. Absolutely haram. And I always tell the women, go to the police and lay a charge against your husband for assault when he starts using his hands and so forth, because that is definitely absolutely haram in Islam. Secondly, since when this can be justified, that because there's no income coming in and now you are getting frustrated, now any small thing happens, you start snapping and start swearing your wife, your children, and beating them up. How can all that be justified? Imagine if somebody has to do that to your daughter or your sister, your son-in-law, your brother-in-law. You will be the first one to say, I'll take a gun and go shoot him, or I'll take some, you know, belt and whatever and go whoop him and so forth. So remember, but we want to justify our own actions. So definitely that is haram and unacceptable. What we need to do, and remember, every family, wherever you are in the world, and there's a lockdown, have a routine. And make sure at this time you are doing this, at this time you are doing that. And all your activities must rotate around Salat. If we read Salat properly, on time, meticulously, with devotion, concentration, Almighty Allah's promise, Inna Salat Tanha Anil Fahshai Wal Munkar, that verily the Salat will prohibit you from all forms of indecency, obscenity. And remember, people watching TV and movies and porn, Allah forbid, Allah protect us, Wal Munkar, and all forms, remember, of injustice and haram. So that is, it shows our Salat is not being read on time, or if we read, we're just going through the motions, and if we read with devotion and with dedication, then the desired results will become a reality. Surah An-Kabut, chapter 29 and verse 45. So that is the barakah, the result of a salat that is performed properly and thoroughly.
Moving on to the next question, Mufti Sahib, is it permissible for a son to call his mother by her name?
Absolutely unacceptable in Islam. Your parents are, remember, first is the rights of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, then the rights of Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then the rights of your parents. They have more right than your teacher and anybody else. So remember, Almighty Allah states, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Almighty Allah is teaching us that make dua for your parents, رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Oh Allah, have mercy on my beloved parents as they nurtured me. They brought me up whilst I was a baby and a child. And do not even say a word, oof, any word that will hurt their feelings. Sometimes they make mistakes and they do some foolish things. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Do not shout and scream at them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Speak to them in an honorable manner. So how can you call your mother Fatima, Zainab, Jamila, your father Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali? Totally unacceptable. Ya Abi, Ya Ummi, Oh Daddy, Oh Mama, Oh Umami. So all these type of words of respect we must use. Ad-deenu kulluhu adab, the whole of deen is adab. Remember that we need to teach this adab to our children as well. So ad-deenu kulluhu adab, the whole of deen, remember, is adab and respect. So we need to show that respect more so to our parents. So that is compulsory.
Looking at the WhatsApp messages coming through, the very next message we have, Mufti Sahib, it says, my daughter is not talking to me. What dua can I read, please? Mufti Sahib, many messages like this, especially during this lockdown period.
Remember that everyone who is not talking to another person there, we need to know it is the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala that He has blessed us with this Laylatul Nisfi min Sha'ban coming Wednesday night. So, Mustafa, حبيبنا صلى الله عليه وسلم authentic hadith. فيغفر الله لجميع خلقه. Allah will forgive the entire creation إلا لمشرك أو مشاهد. Except people who are non-Muslims or people who have this malice, rancor, hatred, seven ties. Now remember, on an auspicious night like that as well, you will find you will not be forgiven, O daughter. What are you doing? What are you thinking? That you think because of your degrees or your intelligence that you severed ties with your mother or with your father or some family member? Do you know what the Quran Kareem teaches us? The Quran Kareem teaches us, the Surah 47, Surah Muhammad, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Mubarak, named the Surah, is named after Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And verses 22-23, in tawallaytum, when you have authority. Now we have money, we have rank, we have status, we have a lot of degrees and education, so-called education. And tufsidu fil ard, you cause mischief, mayhem, chaos on this earth. Wa tuqatti'u arhamakum, and you sever the family ties. Every day your mother is crying and you not responding. Ulaika alladhina la'anahumullah. Chapter 47, verses 22-23, Allah curses them. And remember, fa'asammahum wa'a'ma absarahum. Almighty Allah makes them spiritually deaf and spiritually blind. And Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kullu dhanbin insha'a fa'anhu wa insha'a dhaba. Every sin, it is a prerogative of Almighty Allah. Either Allah punishes the person or Allah forgives the person. Illa uquq al-walidain. Except, remember, when we are disobedient to one's parents. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُؤَجِّلُ أُقُوبَتَهُ لِصَاحِبِي فِي الْحَيَاةِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. Then Almighty Allah will punish their son, daughter in this world before death overtakes them. We saw so many a time in our family, in our friends, the hadith is mentioned in Mishkat Sharif Bayhaqi, that people who are rebellious, disobedient, everything of theirs almost turned into a failure and disaster. So therefore, O Beti, O daughter, go to your mother, kiss her hand, embrace her, and first thing tell her, O Ummi, forgive me. It was my foolishness, my arrogance, and a mother's love is a pure, pure love. She will forgive you. Do that immediately, daughter, otherwise you will be a loser in this world and the year after.
Mufti Sahab, the next question. This person wants to know that, can Mufti Sahab kindly explain the method of tayammum?
Remember that tayammum is mentioned in the Noble Quran, and the verses of tayammum were revealed because of our mother, Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Surah 5, verse number 6 and all that you will find there. Nevertheless, that Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha lost her necklace, and thereafter, how the Gnu people going to perform the wudu? There's no water there. Almighty Allah revealed the verse, فَتَيَمَّمُوا سَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَمْزَحُوا بِهُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ. So for tayammum, first thing, remember, you must make intention. Whether the tayammum is for wudu or for ghusl. So it removes hadas asghar, the minor impurity, or the greater impurity, if people are stranded, 5-10 kilos, there's no water at all, and there's drought and famine and so forth. So you make intention of tayammum for ghusl also if the need arises. So first thing is that. Second thing, you take your palms and you strike it on the land, on the sand. That land and sand must be pure. Cannot be a place where there's urine and so forth. Then after you struck it, then you shake your hands so the dust will fall, and then you rub it on your face. So that's once only. And that will be the masa of the face. Then again you strike your palms and your hands on the land and sand, and then you shake it a bit, and thereafter the dust will fall. Then with your left hand you make masa of your right hand, including the elbow, and then with your right hand you make masa of the left hand, and that is how, including the elbow, that is tayammum finished now. So a tayammum darbatan, darbatun lilwaj and darbatun lilyadain. So that is how you perform tayammum ablution with sand. This is the distinction of this ummah and a unique feature. No other ummah and nation of the past had this. This is the the barakah and blessing of Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the earth ju'ilatil ardu masjidan wa tahura, the land and the sand has been made a masjid, where we are traveling, for example, we see some lawn, some land, some sand, we can read salat there, and we can make the yammum, the hadith authentic in Mishkat Sharif Mustad Ahmad.
Is it permissible for a non-Muslim relative to go into the grave to bury a deceased family member?
Definitely not permissible. You can't have a non-Muslim going into the grave and burying Muslim. We want the mercy of Almighty Allah at that time. Our father, mother, son, daughter, somebody near and dear passed away. So where are all the Muslims? It is compulsory upon the Muslim. The Muslim has to give the ghusl and bathe the deceased. The Muslim has to do the takfeen, the shrouding of the deceased. The Muslim has to read the Salatul Janazah. The Muslim have to bury the person. So remember, we can't be so lazy and neglectful that we don't even want to bury our own brother or sister. And we say that, no, we'll get non-Muslims to do so. That will be a real indictment upon us. So remember, it is farz kifaya. Therefore, in South Africa, we thank Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. We have these burial committees and they are very, very effective. And mashallah, they do that solely, only for the love of Allah Jalla Wala. There's no wages involved and so forth. So they're doing a sterling service to humanity and the Muslims.
Mufti Sahib, what is the difference between Tawbah and Istighfar? And also, is it authentic that we've heard that to read 120,000 times Istighfar during this time of the coronavirus?
To the three-part question, number one is, what is the difference between Istighfar and Tawbah? Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states in the Noble Quran, "An istaghfiru rabbakum thumma tubu ilay yumatti'kum mata'an hasana." So you must make istighfar. Istighfar is astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Or you read the entire sentence, astaghfirullah rabbi min kulli dhambin wa atubu ilayh. That's for the sins we committed in the past. Ya Allah, I seek your pardon, your forgiveness, min kulli dhambin, for all the vices and sins I committed. Wa atubu ilayh. Tawbah is for the present and the future. Ya Allah, give me the tawfiq, ability, capacity, capability, not to go back to my vices and evil of the past. So it is for the future. And remember, Almighty Allah has made reference to this in the Noble Quran, Surah 66, verse number 8. Almighty Allah states, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. Ey iman walo, O you believe, turn to Almighty Allah in repentance, tawbatan nasuha. A person came to Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and asked him, I know Tawbah, what is the Nasuha? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was a genius. He said, let me illustrate this point via an example. And he said that when you milk the she camel, you milk the cow, does that milk go back into the udders of the animal? He said, no. He said, that is Tawbah and Nasuha. Don't go back to the vices of evil and devilish lifestyle. So that is Tawbah, that is Maqboola, Tawbah Sadiqah, a true Tawbah and a true repentance, and it is accepted by Almighty Allah. Second issue is when we read the last verse of Surah Baqarah. And what do we find there? That Almighty Allah in chapter 2, verse 286, the longest surah chapter in the Noble Quran, Allah Jalla Wala speaks of three times, three zamanas, past, present and future. How beautiful. Wa'afu anna, oh beloved Allah, we are begging you. We are sinners, we are transgressors, there are no mitigating circumstances. Forgive us, oh Allah, out of your mercy and grace. Wa'afil lana, Ya Allah, currently, presently, make satari, cover our vices and sins. Therefore, in Arabic, a helmet is called mighfar, because it covers a person's head. So in this text and context, waghfir lana will mean cover and conceal our vices. For the future, warhamna, envelope us in your mercy, Ya Allah. So all three, past, present and future, wa'afu anna, waghfir lana, warhamna, أنت مولانا. You are our protector. فانصرنا للقوم الكافرين. Assist us against the disbelievers. Now remember that people say when this one passed away or that one passed away, or now there's lockdown and calamities and problems. Read 100,000, 120,000. Remember, you read is very good. Quran Kareem teaches us we must read. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah will not punish them as long as they engage in istighfar and asking Allah for forgiveness. But this number of 100,000, 120,000 is not mansus, is not mentioned in Quran Sharif or authentic hadith. So this is the amal, this is the prescription given by some salihin, pious by people, buzruks, what we call, and so forth. So yes, you can read it, but don't consider that amount sunnat or compulsory. If you're going to consider it sunnat or compulsory, then it becomes innovation and not permissible. So therefore, I tell people, read abundantly. Allah ke ya ginti nahi, Allah ke ya wazan hai. Allah does not count the action, Allah weighs the action. So just read it abundantly. Don't worry too much about the numbers and the quantity mentioned.
Mufti Sahab, another question that has come in, or quite a few, pertaining to the khutbah for Jumu'ah. What is recommended to recite in both these khutbahs?
Yes, we have many, many imams now because of the lockdown. You can't go to the masjid. So now we are telling you, once you are four Muslim males who are sane and mature, so that's the minimum amount, then make your Jumu'ah there, and that is the fatwa. So remember that what you should be reading, read Surah Fatiha. Every Muslim supposed to know that. You know four surahs, for example, Wal Asri, Inna A'tayna, Qul Walla, and then you read Durood Sharif, you read some dua, Rabbana Atina Fi Dunya. So that's the khutbah is done. Second one, you must remember, you read Surah Fatiha, you read Qul Walla, Qul Abi Falak, Qul Abi Nas, and you read Salawat, Durood Sharif, you say Rabbana Atina Fi Dunya Hasana. If you know one, two ayats of taqwa, Ya Ayyuhan Nasu Taqwa Rabbana, so that's good also, you should recite that. So in that way there, that it will be very easy for you to perform both the khutbahs, and thereafter you give the iqamah, and then you lead the salat, the two rakats. So any Muslim, really speaking, who knows Surah Fatiha and four surahs, you can repeat the same khutbah in the first, and the second khutbah can be the same like the first one.
What's the sub-next question that we have? Wanting to know which surahs must be recited in the witr salah.
Remember, in witr salat, you read first rakat, Subbihisma Rabbikal A'la, and thereafter, in the second rakat, Kul Yal Kafirun. Third rakat, you read Kul Wallahu Ahad, and in that way there, you'll be practicing on the sunnah of Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Surah 3, verse 31, Fattabi'uni Yuhbibkumullah. You become the beloved of Almighty Allah, wa yaghfir lakum, and Almighty Allah will forgive you your sins. So therefore, we should always, now we have so much leisure time, so learn this surah, like Surah Subbihisma Rabbikal A'la, and in that way we revive the sunnah of Habibuna Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
During this particular time where there are so many people in need, is it permissible for one to discharge their zakat at this particular time? And question number two, is it permissible to give the zakat to those that are not Muslim?
Alhamdulillah, it was yesterday, I think, my brother Haji Yusuf Abramji from Pretoria, he contacted me and he told me I should make a, you know, voice note, and he'll send it out to everybody. So I said fine, and in there I addressed this issue. I said that, you know, for us as Muslims, normally we pay our zakat during Ramadan, but these are extraordinary circumstances. So many people, Muslims, remember that they're going to lose their job, or they already lost their job, there's no income coming, the tension is increasing, and so many other problems. So we know who the Muslims are in our towns, in our cities, and so forth. So mashallah, they just go buy something or just transfer the money to their account and so forth, and then you can deliver it there when you buy your essential goods, and then they can meet you there as well, and then you give it to them in that way there. So my advice is, every Muslim, upon whom zakat is compulsory. Try and take out quarter, half, three quarter, whatever suits you, in cash or kind. Do so now to empower our Muslim brothers, sisters, not only in South Africa, but Africa and everywhere in the world. Secondly, we know that the non-Muslims, just today I went to buy something and one brother came, non-Muslim, and he said, Boza, Nigamina, you know, so we know that some of them take chances and so forth. So you ask him, what do you really want? And he'll say this. So he'll give you a list of 3-4 things. So you buy one thing also, alhamdulillah. We thank Almighty Allah. Allah made us the giver and not the receiver. So that is al-yadul ulya khayrun min al-yadis sufla. That the hand that gives is better than the hand that receives. So remember that for non-Muslims, use our sadaqah, our voluntary charity, our lillah, and we belong to the ummah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatul alameen. So we will rise to the occasion and help everyone whom we can help. So that is what we should do. Yes, zakat cannot be given to non-Muslims, to Muslims only. And remember, Almighty Allah has mentioned in Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 60, the 8 categories, remember, of people who are entitled to receive zakat. And Allah said, Faridatam min Allah, this is ordained and prescribed by Almighty Allah. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu an from Madinah Munawwara to Yemen and said, Khudha min aghniyaihim wa rudduha ila fuqaraihim. You take the zakat from the rich Muslims and return it and give it to the poor Muslim. From there the ulama have said, we cannot give zakat to non-Muslims, but our voluntary charity, that's fine, and we should really be doing that, the cash, the kind, and inshallah, Almighty Allah will change the unfavorable conditions into favorable conditions, inshallah.
I mean, JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Saab. Well, that brings us to our very first break, and thereafter we continue with the Q&A program right until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Do keep in mind, this afternoon's Q&A program is brought to you exclusively by the Capital Group of Companies, Sony, and only for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say alhamdulillah wa shukrulillah. We thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as the directors of the radio stations, that, you know, we have been blessed with this mean of communication, and especially during these times, I'm sure we appreciate this even more. We'll be back with you shortly.
فَلَسْتُمْ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. Whose fatwa is this? This is not AK's fatwa or AK-47's fatwa. This is the fatwa direct from Imam Zainul Abidin. فَلَسْتُمْ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. You don't belong to this ummah.
Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
And continuing with the Q&A program, our very next question that we have for Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, kindly explain, what is an Osmani script Quran and an Urdu script?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Very easy answer. When people go to Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, you will see normally the Quran Sharifs are green, 90-80%, and you get some with a blue cover. Anyway, the history of it is this. During the time of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the entire Quran Sharif was revealed to the Mubarak blessed heart of the Master alayhi salatu wasalam. There were hundreds and people, thousands of them, who by hearted certain parts and portions of the noble Quran. And remember, some of them entire Quran Sharif they knew as well. Then we find they were the scribes, like Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. They would write down the Quran Sharif, but not on paper only, whatever they could find. Because paper was a scarce, something very, very scarce, there was a paucity of it and so forth, shortage of it. And they would write on leather and whatever else they could find that was parked and clean and tahir. In time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the whole Quran Sharif was written on paper, and then it was called Mushaf at that time there. In time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, now in time of Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman, Islam was spreading far and wide. But now the people were reading Quran Sharif according to their own dialect. It's all Arabic, but their own dialect. So some people said that, no, I'm reading right and you reading wrong. So the people came to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu and informed him that this will cause huge problems in future. Hence, he commissioned a panel, Zaid bin Thabit radiallahu anhu and others, and said, write the entire Quran Sharif in one official script. So the Quran Sharif was written already in the time of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Sayyidina Abu Bakr's time it was reduced to paper, but in one official script, every word, every letter. So that is what they mean by Rasbil Uthmani, because he, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was the Khalifa and the Amirul Mu'mineen. You open Bukhari Sharif, you will find a whole chapter on this Ta'liful Quran. Nevertheless, now Zaid bin Thabit radiallahu anhu was writing, and in that way there a few copies were now prepared and sent to the various capitals and so forth. So thereafter we find now the Quran Sharif got one script. But now you Hafiz Wadi, you're a Hafiz, with Allah's help and mercy I'm a Hafiz. So you will see the Quran Sharif we have, for example the one from Yasfam, the 13 line Quran. So Allah Ta'ala reward them great service to Islam they rendered with those Quran Sharifs and so forth. So that day is not Rasmil Uthmani. So therefore they called it the Urdu script, meaning that it's similar to, you know, the not Rasmul Uthmani. It's how we use in India, Indo-Pakistan. So they call it Pakistani Quran or Pakistani Indian Quran. All are Quran, obviously, we're just speaking of the script. So that is how the script came about. Remember that. So that what you see, and the person who wrote it there, all these Quran Sharifs in Makkah, Medina, is still alive, mashallah, is 86, 87 years old. Sheikh Uthman Taha, Hafidahullah. I went to his house twice with the help and mercy of Allah and kissed his hand. He wrote the Quran Sharif, not typed in computer, 7 times from starting to end, different sizes and so forth. And I asked him, how long does it take you to write one Quran Sharif? He said that 3 years, 20, 21 years he spent writing the Quran Sharif. Then it was handed over to the Mujamma Malik Fahad, the King Fahad Quranic Press there in Medina. And now from there they are printing millions of copies and distributing it to the whole world. So that is how we see today clearly, that you will see if you go to the Arab countries, Al-Quranul Kareem bi Rasmil Uthmani, according to the official script that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala instructed, and that was the script of the Quraysh. So that is what was used and continues till today.
Professor, what is the Dome of the Rock and why is it so significant?
Remember that the whole, all four walls, the big, big walls that you see there around Masjid al-Aqsa, remember 35, 36, 37 or more acres it is. So all that is Masjid al-Aqsa. So remember that. Number two is the structure, the building you see in front, that is Masjid al-Aqsa. And if you get in there, permission to go at the bottom, so in the basement, so that is Alhamdulillah, 1989, we went down there as well with the help and mercy of Allah. So that was the original Masjid al-Aqsa. Thereafter, remember at the back in the year 72 after Hijrah, Abdul Malik bin Marwan rahimahullah's time, so the exact place and spot from where Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Mi'raj Mubarak and the ascension took place. So therefore that is built. So people get mixed up, so they think that is Masjid al-Aqsa only. No, the whole area where the buildings are and where there are no buildings, all that is Masjid al-Aqsa. And remember that at night, if you look at it from the Hashimi Hotel, so from the old city, so mashallah, magnificent view, and you will see the golden dome shining in its glory. And around the Qubbatu Sakhra, the Dome of the Rock, you will see the whole Surah Yasin is written there. So yes, we are indebted, remember, to Abdul Malik bin Marwan for this great, great apartheid architecture, which till today remember the Jews and the apartheid regime of Israel cannot digest. So they are busy wa makaru wa makar Allah. They have their ulterior motives. Allah forbid, where you speak of the Dome of the Rock, they say the apartheid regime of Israel, they want to demolish it and replace it with the third temple, the Haikal Sulaimani, the temple of Solomon. So you see how Almighty Allah is punishing them, that they will be punished ila yawmil qiyamah, Quran says. So you must remember, three elections and yet they can't form a proper government, fighting every day and so forth and so on. So this is how Almighty Allah will take away how we were born in apartheid, and we saw how apartheid was dismantled. So similarly, Allah will take it away from them and snatch it away from them, the entire Palestine, occupied Palestine, and give it to the Muslims, when Allah alone knows. But if you want two books, and this is for a serious reader, discerning reader, Haqa'iqul Qur'aniyya hawla qadiyyatil Falastiniyya, that's a must for the ulama and students, obviously, who know Arabic. Then read there how Almighty Allah will give victory to the Muslims in the near future, inshallah, in our lifetime. And remember that in English, if you don't know Arabic, then Jerusalem, the key to world peace. So these are excellent, excellent books to read, and you will see that this is all part of the divine plan. And remember, in that way you will understand. They have the media, and therefore you must remember, they try and manipulate the minds of people. But nevertheless, Almighty Allah's power is there at all times, all places.
Mufti Saab, our next question reads as follows. What can you say to someone who is suicidal, Mufti Saab?
Remember, people become suicidal because of two, three reasons. One is they feel unwanted. Their own family or society doesn't show any affection, any love to them. Hence, they suffer, you must remember, from depression. They suffer from all these negative thoughts, and then they say, let me now, Allah forbid, commit suicide. Second one, people have domestic problems, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, among the non-Muslims, Allah forbid. And now they go crazy because of that. You see, in Italy, the one person, multi-billionaire, went up his hotel and he threw himself down, committed suicide. He said, I have nothing left to live. My entire family has been killed and destroyed with the coronavirus. And if you know what happened in Italy and you study the sequence of events, they had a big gay concert and so forth before the coronavirus hit. So Almighty Allah is showing us how he decimated and destroyed. You must remember the people who committed sodomy in Sodom and Gomorrah. That same Allah will punish me and you as well, whether we like it or not. We never went to the masjid, and today we are crying, we are begging Allah. So think about that seriously. We had the opportunity to go for Umrah Hajj, and today there is lockdown. Allah Jalla wa Ala protect the Haramain Sharifain, Majlul Aqsa, all our masajid, and open all of them inshallah in the near future. But we all need to do some real introspection and reflection as well. Remember, that is compulsory upon us. Third one, people sometimes get involved in so many debts because we live in a capitalistic society. Now they can't pay their creditors, so what happened? They just take a gun, Allah forbid, shoot themselves, take a blade or a knife or what have you, and slit their wrist and what have you. So remember, in Islam, it is not sagira, not a minor sin, not kabira, a major sin. It is Barul Kaba'id, the worst of crimes. And Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khalidam mukhalladan fiya abada, the person will stay in Jahannam forever and ever and ever, meaning for very, very long period. And the manner method he opted for killing himself and committing suicide, he will continue doing that with the other punishment. But if he or she passed away with Iman and Islam, then with the barakah of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shafa'a and intercession and du'as of the family and friends, one day Almighty Allah will forgive him. So therefore, this Wednesday night is a big, big night, auspicious night. We should be crying, begging Almighty Allah for khatima on Iman. Ya Allah, death is barahaq, is 100% inevitable. But we want that day, Ya Allah, we beseech, we beg you to make that day the best day in our life, the day we come and meet you with the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah on our lips.
Mufti Sahib, this person says they have chronic disease and they pray Ya Ra'uf with the hand on the stomach. Is it Ya Ra'uf or should one read Ar Ra'uf?
Remember that if you read the Asma'ul Husna, and we should be reading it, every one of us listening to the program, you should start today, not tomorrow, and you should pass this message on. Surah 7, verse 180. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ Husna fad'uhu biha. Almighty Allah has wonderful, beautiful names. So invoke and call Almighty Allah by those beautiful names. And remember the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, Man ahsaha dakhal al-jannah, whosoever memorizes the beautiful 99 names of Allah, or you read it looking inside, no problem, you enter Jannah and paradise. So every name of Almighty Allah is very powerful and potent. You read Ya Ra'ufu or you read Ar Ra'ufu. If you are reading Ya Ra'ufu, it's better for a particular purpose. Your husband-wife relationship is not good, fighting, arguing, read Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadud. Someone is ill, read Ya Salamu, Ya Salamu. You know the money is not coming in, there's no income, and now you worried the shop will close, you lose your job and your shop and everything. Read Ya Wahabu, Ya Wahabu. So read Ya Ra'uf, Ya Ra'uf. If you are really ill with your stomach disease or other ailments, today's nasiha that I sent out is du'as. They are, let's read for you 1-2 du'as. And remember, you should read Surah 21, verse 83. The du'a of a Nabi, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, Anni masani yadurru wa anta rahamur rahimin. Oh Allah, this calamity, disaster, sickness has struck me. Whilst you, Allah, you are most merciful one to show mercy. You are worried, you have anxiety, you have now, you know, chronic problems and so forth. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Surah chapter 21 verse 87 abundantly. Almighty Allah will remove the worry and the sorry. Wa kadhalika nunjil mu'minin. And da'u mardakum bi sadaqa. O Ummah, every day give out charity in cash or kind to the Muslim and non-Muslim. Zakat is separate, as I explained to you, for poor Muslims only. But our daily charity should continue. And remember, don't look at the amount. Ittaqun nar walau bishiqi tamra. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, authentic hadith, you open Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad. Fear the fire, Allah will protect us even with half a date. So we gave out 50 cents, 1 rand. So that also could be a means of our salvation. May Almighty Allah forgive us and accept us.
Amen. Mufti Sahib, next question we go to says, I recently imported masks from overseas. Is it halal to sell at a profit during this pandemic?
Yes, obviously, if you're a businessman, you're not running a charity or something, so you sell it at a profit. However, what some of our brothers or sisters or people are doing, South Africa and other countries, really escalating the prices and exploiting the people, that is not permissible. And you know by law also that they are getting arrested or so many problems are happening and so forth. Allah protect us. So yes, to sell at a profit, it costs you 20 rand. You sell at 40, 50. Rand, so fine. But now you want to charge 150, 200, 300, 500 rand. So that is now really exploitation. That we should be the one to lead by example and not exploit the people in their hour of need. Remember, that is does not behove a Muslim to do so.
Mufti Sahib, what must one read or do to get rid of evil thoughts, and is one sinful for these evil thoughts?
This is a three-part question. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. When the shaitan gives you an injection, that's the proper literal translation. نَزْغٌ إِدْخَالُ الْإِبْرَاءِ فِي الْجِلْدِ. So if you want the Arabic tafsir commentary of it. So anyway, to insert the injection, the evil thoughts and all all the waswasa, whisperings of shaitan. So read, fasta'iz billah, Quran Kareem says, say, a'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Second one, when you are suffering from waswasa, the whisperings of shaitan and so forth, read, qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, this is the best ta'weez, the best means of protection with the deen. It will give you protection, and protection will be granted through it. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, open Mishkat, Mustada Ahmad, all the hadith kitabs basically have a hadith regarding the last two surahs and chapters. Third one, when is it sinful and when is it not sinful? We go and bring the evil thoughts. We start thinking about that man and that woman. We start thinking about all the haram movies we saw and what have you. So all that now becomes haram. Remember, we are bringing the thoughts. But sometimes the thoughts just flash through our mind. We did not bring it and so forth. It came and then it disappeared. So that is beyond our ability, capability, so for that we will not be sinful. So when we start fantasizing, when we start bringing, when we start thinking, so all that, remember, is not permissible, and Almighty Allah will take us to task for that. Allah Ta'ala protect us.
Ameen. Mufti Sahib, the Quran states Laylatin Mubarakah. Which night is this referred to?
Remember, that is Surah 44 and that is Surah Dukhan. According to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Laylatul Qadr, we know that is in Ramadan. So remember that the night of majesty, the night of destiny, Laylatul Qadri Khayrun Min Alfi Shahr. So that is greater, superior than 1,000 months as enshrined in the Noble Quran. So when we study the Quran Sharif, we study the tafsir of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sahaba, all. So Laylatul Mubarakah and Laylatul Qadr are the same. And if you look at the verses closely, you will see Almighty Allah states, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. So all the matters and everything on that night, remember that the malaika descend in their droves and droves the entire night. Now go to Surah 44, the first 5-6 verses, فِيهَا يُفْرَكُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. So all the matters of wisdom, they are made distinct on that night. So that is what happens. To give you an easy example, people get confused and sometimes their fuses get blown also in the process. So let us make things clear. You see, last week, this Wednesday that passed, now because Sunday they say is like the new week. So this Wednesday that passed, so they told us now the petrol price went down 190, 181, whatever it is, right? So remember, we all got happy, and mashallah, we're not using our cars so much, but still we got happy. So nevertheless, we don't have to pay so much for petrol and diesel and whatever you. So that is Laylatul E'lan. The day they made the announcement was 3-4 days before that Wednesday, for example. So the announcement is made. And then from Wednesday, Laylatul Tanfiz, the implementation is made. So if you want to reconcile everything, so this is how you reconcile it. Laylatul Nisfi min Shaban, Shabbat Barat is an auspicious night. There's no question about that, according to Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah. But, and if you want the wonderful discussion on this, then open Sheikh Albani. So he Silsila Ahadith Sahiha, Volume 3, Hadith 1144. He has a wonderful discussion and he proves and says it is a big night. Last year, 15 Shaban, we were in Medina Munawwara with the help and mercy of Allah. The Imam day in Medina Munawwara, it was a Friday before the big night and auspicious night. Sheikh Bu'ayjan, he quoted the same hadith and he said, Al-Albani. So you must remember, they also accept it is a big night and auspicious night. You can listen to the khutbahs of the Haramain day when you go to their khutbah, their website and so forth. So here we will say that 15th night of Shaban, the announcement takes place. And we will say the implementation takes place on Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny. That is how you make tawfiq and tatbiq. These are all technical terms. That is how you reconcile everything. So remember, Laylatul Mubarakah does not refer to 15th night of Shaban, and that is the verdict of 99% of Sahaba, Ikrimah radiallahu anhu, one, two other Sahaba might be saying that. But we don't take that because we must take majority Sahaba. And Quran Kareem taught us that, Surah 9, verse 100, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. You must follow the first and foremost among the Muhajirin and Ansar, the migrants and the assistants. And Hadith Sahih, authentic, open Mishkat Sharif, اتَّبِيُوا السَّوَادَ الْأَعْظَمِ. So majority Sahaba, we follow them. So what they had to say. So that is the verdict regarding Laylatul Mubarakah, Laylatul Qadr, all refer and allude to the same night.
What is the virtues or the benefits of Durude Tunjina, and also is it Tunjina or Tunajina?
In the Arabic language, you can pronounce it both ways. If you say Tunjina, then it means that, Ya Allah, you give us salvation now. So finish. And Tunajina will mean, Tunajina is Al-Kathra, meaning that give us salvation now and all the times we are stuck in future. So if you look at it from a linguistic point of view, it's better you read Tunajina. Two, three things we should know about Durud Tunjina, Tunajina, you call it whatever you want. To remember, it is man-made. It's not something in the Quran Sharif. It's not something in the Ahadith Mubarakah. It's not something which the Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to read or anything. So there was one Waliullah, and remember, in his dream he heard these words and so forth. Or he was in some difficulty and so forth, and then he was inspired by these words and he read it. So we say, if you read it, permissible. But again, do not say it is Sunnah or it is compulsory. Then that will make it an innovation. So we always need to draw that distinction. Next issue is the best Durood Sharif, Salawat, salutations upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one we read in our Salat. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. So likewise, Allahumma barik till the end. So that is the best of the best. The others like this are man-made. So always read that which Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us.
I'm going to our WhatsApp. It says, I think I hate my brothers and sisters because of how they make my wife depressed. Does that mean I'm a bad Muslim?
We don't know, my brother. All these questions are one-sided. Some of them are loaded also, and some of them are slanted also. So we just give you the benefit of the doubt, and we answer the questions as it is posed. Let's take it like this. You are married, and now we don't know that why your brothers, your sisters seem to be jealous, envious. Allah alone knows of your wife, and they make her feel miserable. Why? Maybe she's more beautiful than their wives. Maybe she comes from a rich family. Maybe your marriage is so good, so they're feeling jealous. Allah alone knows. I'm just looking at the possibilities. So what should you and your wife do in situations like this? You must cement your marriage. Both of you must be reading Surah 25, verse 74. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُونَ. Oh, beloved Allah, grant us our spouses and children and offspring that are the coolness of the eyes. And then read, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, Ya Allah, you create the love within us. When you husband, wife, your hearts are united, this unity of thought, so both of you will be going in the same direction. So you will be there to help her, protect her. She will be there to assist you as well. So that is the first step you must achieve. Second one, that you should speak to your brothers. Don't put that to her. And you speak to your sisters. What is the real problem? And in that way there, remember, the way best way forward is to discuss it. And third one, you will gauge already that he gal meki malni. That's a beautiful sentence in Mammon. It rhymes. He gal meki malni. That in that what they are saying, there is no real substance in it. It's just pure jealousy, envy. So if there's nothing like that, just tell her she must just make salam to their wives and so forth and carry on in life. Remember, you can't please everybody. People are cursing, swearing, Allah, Allah forbid. People are swearing, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah forbid. We can see what's happening in the world. So who are we ordinary mortals? Who will leave us? So you will get people making so many statements against our wives, against us, against this. So all this goes on in the world. You must read, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, fa ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Ya Allah, you are the best one to take care of my affairs and matters. And Ya Allah, you are sufficient for me and the best protector and the best helper.
Mufti Saab, once again, this is a very high-frequency question that's coming in. What advice can be given to husbands during the lockdown period? Many of them are behaving very, very badly, Mufti Saab.
Yes, we answered that question already, but anyway, my advice to you husbands, when you get frustrated and so forth, leave your house and go sit in your garage, in your outbuilding, go by the garden, cool off little bit, when the tension is rising, and that you will find in the hadith, is authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the house of Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. And she, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Sayyidina Ali is not there. Ayna Ali, where's Ali radiallahu anhu, oh my beloved daughter Fatima radiallahu anha? Look at the intelligence of Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. She said, Baini wa baina ushay, we just had some argument. He's gone to the masjid. She did not say what it was. So that is a big lesson. When the Habib of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the masjid, Sayyidina Ali was there by the corner, he fell asleep. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, will always be the most beloved to Almighty Allah and the most precious. With his own Mubarak hands, he started removing the speck of dust from the clothing and body of Sayyidina Ali. Yamsahu turab an thiyabihi an badani. Open Sahih Muslim. And remember that then Nabi alayhi salam told him, Kum ya Aba Turab, stand up, O father of saint. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was so happy with that title. Although his name was Ali, he was known as Abu al-Hasan, but yet the master called him Abu Turab. So remember, in the hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. So from there, walk away. What you want to stay there, swear your wife, swear your children, all these things, and go do something positive. Turn the negative into positive. My brother, that is my advice to all of you.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Saab. Well, that already brings us to the end of the first hour of this afternoon's Q&A program, brought to you exclusively by the Capital Group of Companies, Sony and Oni, for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After the break, we continue for the next 55 minutes. And the last 5 minutes is going to be Mufti Saab's Nasiha for this afternoon.